And welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, April the 15th, 2011. You get an extra couple of days for your taxes this year. It will not be due until Monday, April the 18th. So we get a little
Hallelujah.
I'm Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330 and on the web at buckmastershow.com. Today's Friday Focus interview features a conversation with Democrat Bruce Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler, a freshman lawmaker from Midtown Tucson's District 28, Representative Wheeler served a previous two-year term in the Arizona legislature in the mid-1970s. Bruce Wheeler also served on the Tucson City Council from 1987 to 1995. Joining me to talk with Representative Wheeler is the Dean of Tucson Talk, John C. Scott. Happy to have John with us to talk to Bruce Wheeler. Bruce, what a late night for you, huh? 3 o'clock in the morning you got back to Tucson. What the heck is going on up there?
Thank you, Bill. Yes, we were done about 11 o'clock last night and finally got home at 3 this morning.
What was going on that had to be dealt with so late night?
Well, while we were staying up passing ridiculous legislation, hundreds of thousands of Arizonans were trying to get some sleep, worrying about their jobs. The 300,000 Arizonans who have lost their jobs in the last 2 years, we were passing a birther bill, for one, requiring a birth certificate, a long form. Who knows what that is?
Only state in the country, I guess, that's actually gone through and passed this birther thing.
That's correct. We're the only state. We're the laughingstock. I'm sure we'll make the Colbert Show in the next couple weeks, unfortunately.
Well, there's no question if we're not featured first on the Daily Show. And you know, I've been following this every day, as you have, Bruce, and I keep thinking, well, it just can't get worse and can't get more embarrassing and can't get more stupid. But it does. And, you keep asking yourself that same question from the McCarthy era, have you no shame? But they don't. I mean, the answer to that is, actually, no, we don't. And we don't have more shame, but we're working on it. You know, I mean, this is just, it's really disgraceful.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that, John. In addition to the birther bill, last night the Republican majority passed a bill that insists on privatizing all services in the cities of Tucson and Phoenix, with the exception of police, fire, and the courts. And of course, we had a long debate about whether the language was a shall or may do this. But certainly, the bill that did pass requires both cities to go out to bid for all of those services. If that were to happen, you can imagine the tragedy that would befall thousands if we put the employees of both cities together, of employees out on the street, all the pensions that they had put in through many years of work. We'd have a higher unemployment problem in the state. So there's a callousness. There's more than anything, and you and I have talked about it, John, on several occasions. In fact, we have two bills, the ideological control that exists in the Republican majority is really, really damaging to the state of Arizona.
And Democrats like yourself had virtually no say this time around.
We don't.
Was the case last year.
Our big hope, however, is the redistricting. And we have a lot of hope that the Redistricting Commission, it's truly independent, we believe, this year, and that it will redraw the legislative and congressional lines in Arizona to truly reflect who the legislature is. We're one-third Republicans, Democrats, and independents, and you don't see that diversity in the legislature. It's two-thirds Republican right-wing ideology. Members who have attacked and gone after their own moderate members, Mary McClure and Pete Hershberger, are only two recent examples. So we really have a lot of hope in that.
You know, it just seems like, there's smoke filling the house, and they're really burning down government, and the flames just haven't reached the center part of the house. I mean, everybody knows there's smoke everywhere, and there's a huge inferno coming. But until the house is almost charred rubble, and I'm talking about the government of the state of Arizona and its infrastructure, which is health care and education and, of course, all the other necessities government provides, that the people are not going to realize that there's just nothing left until there's nothing left. That's all what bothered me through this whole process is the public does not seem to be aware of the situation where, you know, there's so much destruction that the people of Arizona are either not feeling it, are not recognizing it, are not realizing the dire consequences. And a terrible irony in talking with Glenn Hammer of the Arizona Chamber and their recent stance saying, well, we just thought 1070 was about law enforcement. We didn't realize it was going to cost us all these millions of dollars in our economy. So it took them a while to figure that out. And then they got 60 of their top executives of major corporations in the state saying, oh, my God, don't do any more. And, of course, the Senate finally listened to that. But even the business community now realizes what kind of price we paid for 1070. And I think that there's a lag time here, Representative Wheeler, in which the damage is not felt for a period of time. And then when it is, people finally started getting involved in it, as the business community has with 1070 and other anti-illegal immigration things. But, you know, the destruction of education and health care and, you know, is not immediately felt, but it will be. And then perhaps people will be back in the streets, hopefully with some pitchforks and torches. And that's because there'll be no electricity, you see. The only way to illuminate the night. But I've just been fearful that people have not realized the great damage that's being done by this legislature to this point.
You're absolutely right, John. In fact, lighting up the night is a good I want to pick up on that comment, because last week the legislature, the House of Representatives, passed the budget. The budget began, the debate began at 3 in the morning and finished at 9:45 in the morning. So it was literally in the darkness of night. The media wasn't there. There was no advance notice. The Democrats saw the budget for the first time about 7 hours before that. And so in the darkness of night, we passed all these horrible draconian bills that affect Arizonans in every way. Residential property taxes are going to go up. That's a consequence of a $538 million cut for businesses that will not guarantee a single job for the state of Arizona. So they're doing things in the darkness of the night. Yes, the business community is finally stepping up to the plate. They're realizing what the consequences are, as you said, and here in southern Arizona, they're beginning to take notice and organize as well.
Representative Wheeler, that just seems to really fly in the face of democracy, doing these things in the dead of night and under the cover of darkness. You said that the Democrats had 7 hours, they only had 7 hours before this budget hit the floor. Why in the world can't Democrats be included in this process and let people have a say on the budget, have some open hearings on the budget? Why does it have to be just one of these during the night deals and it's over? I mean, I just really, it bothers me.
Well, it was one of the things that surprised me with 10 years of experience in local politics to find out that the state is not subject to the open meeting laws. And so there's a representative in Phoenix, Debbie McCune Davis, and I, who, because of this experience last week, we're going to draft the legislation. Obviously, for next year, it won't pass, but we're certainly going to make a point of it. In Tucson, we need 72 hours advance notice for meetings. That they have to be open. They have to be posted. Those rules and regulations do not apply to the state legislature. So that's correct. Thursday at 9:45 in the evening, the Appropriations Committee began to hear it, the budget, from 9:45 till about 1 in the morning. And then we took a two-hour break so Republicans could print the bills before they had been passed in the House. And then at 3 o'clock we began the debate. So yes, the picture I'm drawing to you is a bleak one. There is hope, obviously, next year. We have great people in the state that are determined to get up and revolt against this, hopefully. But right now it's just an atrocious way to run a state government.
We're going to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show. Representative Bruce Wheeler is with us, and I'm joined by John C. Scott. And I'll just make one comment before we go to the break. Whether you're a Republican, Democrat, or an independent, that is not the way democracy should work, doing this kind of thing in the dead of night. It really is wrong. Let's take a break.
The The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
It is 20 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Representative Bruce Wheeler is with us, and I am joined by John C. Scott. And John, we'll pick up the questioning here with Representative Wheeler, perhaps talking about some of that gun legislation that's been going on.
Well, it's even insane, and it's not even really pushed by the NRA. It's pushed by another very conservative, ultra-right-wing, pro-gun movement. I think a lot of Republican lawmakers are afraid to vote against any gun bill, and they don't want to have to take the NRA on or these gun advocate groups on in a primary, and that's where the whole trouble with the way we elect lawmakers. It's all decided in a primary, and of course these conservatives win these primary seats in Republican districts. And then, of course, they're so outnumbered, the Democrats are, in seats like in 30 and 26 and others, that they're just automatically elected, with few exceptions. That 26 was obviously an exception. for a few years, but now it's win the primary with an ultra-conservative turnout, and then you're elected to the legislature. You know, I heard Bruce Ash on your show the other morning talking about, well, why don't Democrats have a budget plan? They don't have any plan. They don't have any alternatives. And I was thinking, well, it's like, you know, Custer trying to negotiate with the Indians going, well, let's talk about this. I've got a plan for you. You know, this is a plan that I'll just get the hell out of here. And, you know, that was after the battle started. And because, I mean, the numbers are just so daunting. I mean, and Bruce certainly knows that 40-20 in the House, 21-9 in the Senate. I don't care what kind of plan you had, you know, if it was, you know, brought down from above or on tablets, it wouldn't make a damn bit of difference, because Republicans are going to do what they're going to do because they can, and they have the numbers to do it, and that's the state of the Democratic opposition. It just, you're just so outnumbered.
You're right. The getting back to downsizing government, I mean, we're all for downsizing it to a responsible point, but what they're doing is so draconian. Keep in mind that there were about 36 legislators out of 90, all of them Republicans, of course, with an ideological agenda, who signed on to Grover Norquist's shrink government to the size of a bathtub pledge. So they pledged, instead of taking their oath to the people of Arizona seriously and to the word, their oath is to people like Grover Norquist. So therefore, you have these draconian bills, you know, eliminating, they don't believe in public education. We've had this discussion before. You know, it's not only the billions of dollars that have been cut from K through 12 in universities and threatening research and development and top quality professors. The gun law will affect parents out of state making decisions about whether their kids are going to attend ASU and U of A when they see these things. So the image that Arizona is going through as a consequence of the ideological makeup, this two-thirds control that John is referring to, is very detrimental to the economy of this state. We don't look good. People are hesitant to send their kids here or scientists to come here and spend hundreds of millions. And I'm talking at the U of A, at least $500 million in research and development funds. So there are consequences to these actions, and they're hurting us a lot. In addition to the 300,000 people who have already lost jobs, imagine the damage that's going to be done to this.
And, of course, you campaigned on education. That was your big theme. Your district includes the University of Arizona, and this has really been a devastating budget for education.
Certainly, and I think people are going to notice as a consequence of this, when classroom sizes reach 42, 45 students per classroom, and tuition rates have gone up over 32% in the last 2 years, and they're going to continue to go up this year. People are taking notice. This is hurting us. This is hurting us tremendously. And I'd like to have a discussion on what business leaders, further discussion on what business leaders are saying across the state. The letter that the CEO of Intel, no less, wrote, an open letter to the legislature, basically saying, what the heck are you doing? This is hurting us. We can't recruit if we don't have top-notch educational facilities from K through universities. I mean, it's just devastating.
Well, and Craig Barrett was quoted as saying that had Intel had that choice to make today, that the Arizona wouldn't even make the top 10 as to what the states that they would consider. And talking with John Kavanaugh, the head of appropriations, I've told this story before many times on my show, that John Kavanaugh, the chair of appropriations in the House, said that Greg Barrett, quote, did not know what he was talking about.
This is the same guy that was a cop at Port Authority in New York, right?
Yeah, and now he's running all the bills for, you know, with any money attached to them through the House of Representatives. And talking about the 60 top CEOs that were, you know, obviously opposed to the five pieces of anti-illegal immigration bill, he just said they're just flat wrong, as if they didn't know what was good for their businesses or not. And, you know, finally, I think that's the only hope we have, is that the business community en masse, and I'm talking about people that represent very large corporations, hundreds of thousands of employees in the state, are finally telling this ultra-conservative leadership of the House and the Senate, you've gone too far, you're harming the economy of the state, you're hurting our businesses, and they're mobile too, because they can move someplace else. I mean, and the idea too, that the whole idea of this legislative session was to bring companies here and now many are threatening to leave, strikes me as a point of diminishing return here from your basic philosophy as that session opened, seeming like 100 years ago, but it was only 90 days ago.
And Bruce, John makes a good point. That editorial that was in the Republic, I think, played a role in the editorial that from the 60 CEOs around the state, including, I believe, Jim Click here in Tucson. I think that had an influence in derailing some of the anti-immigrant legislation that was moving through. Now perhaps they'll see the light with education.
You're absolutely right. I've been to several meetings since January with local business leaders, and believe me, they've taken notice, and they're organizing, and they're taking positions on legislation, education, and all the others that are hurting Southern Arizona. And yes, the legislature, the majority Republicans, listened very carefully a couple of weeks ago when we finally had enough to kill the worst of the immigration bills. A moment ago, by the way, and the criticism was of Chairman Kavanaugh, not of cops. Speaking of police and fire, another damaging bill that passed last night was going after the pensions of public service employees, teachers, the Arizona State Retirement System, and its four different categories.
Really getting into that as well.
Going into that, and it could have been a lot worse. They really wanted to do away with anybody participating and turn it into a private 401k program, which obviously under this economy would become a 201k retirement system. But we managed to keep the essentials intact, but there was a lot of damage, more cuts, more contributions, longer age before retiring, more points. And yes, there are problems with double dipping, there are problems with a drop program, but they use sometimes these legitimate problems to go after and gut everything in the style that Grover Norquist would want them to do, rather than modifying with a scalpel and fixing things and making them functional.
Less than 2 minutes to go, John C. Scott.
Well, again, I think that's the real hope. I was talking with Jim Rounds of Elliott Pollock and Company, The Economist, and he was saying nobody seems to be willing to put a price tag on these things, whether it was 1070 or these anti-illegal immigration bills, and they all are very costly. Same thing with all these cuts. You can understand X number of dollars being removed from budgets, but what is the ultimate price you pay for that? And economists are now putting numbers to that, of saying, if you do this, if you cut this, I mean, it's just like taking 200,000 people off access or more, you lose 42,000 jobs. And I was talking with the majority whip, Steve Pearson, and I said, look, they're going to close your Prescott Hospital. That's where he lives. A lot of retirees have moved to Prescott, and they won't have medical care. There's a price to pay when you start cutting government and dismantling government. And that price is going to be borne by all of us. And it's going to be a very severe price, I think, when it all is totaled up and said and done.
John C. Scott, thank you very much for being with us. Representative Bruce Wheeler, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Go home, get some sleep, try to recover from this week at the legislature. We'll be back with our Friday roundtable.
Let's do it.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
It's strange and wonderful.
You have a firm grasp of the obvious.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. High gas prices helped cause inflation to rise at the fastest pace in more than a year last month. CNN's Allison Kosick says we could see prices at the pump go even higher.
Keep in mind, we're getting into that busy summer driving season. Prices in June are usually higher than in April, but we could see prices wind up hitting a tipping point where people just cut back on how much gas they use. We're already starting to see some of that.
CNN confirms a tornado touched down in Clinton, Mississippi today. The tornadoes that hit Oklahoma and Arkansas are blamed for at least 7 deaths. The company that owns the damaged nuclear plant in Japan will start handing out checks soon to people who had to leave their homes. They'll pay about $600 million for now. A spokesman for Georgia Governor Nathan Deal says the governor will sign a tough anti-illegal immigration bill. There have already been threats of lawsuits and boycotts if this becomes law. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on Roundup Pump and Go Weed and Grass Killer. Now just $15. Weeds and grass have the nasty habit of growing just about anywhere, if you let them. Fortunately, Roundup Pump and Go doesn't let them. We're lowering the cost of going weed-free with Roundup Pump and Go Weed and Grass Killer. Now just $15. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through April 17th, U.S. only. See store for details.
There's no guarantee a penny saved is a penny earned. No guarantee a word to the wise is sufficient. Even with conventional wisdom, guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankerverde, at the southwest corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankerverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Thirty-five minutes past the hour. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show and BuckmasterShow.com. It's time for our Friday Radio Roundtable. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable today, Mark Evans is with us from TucsonCitizen.com and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. We want to thank John C. Scott for sitting in with me in our interview with Representative Bruce Wheeler. And we'll begin with Mark Evans. They had a late night at the legislature passing the birther bill, the only state now in the country that will have formal requirements. I guess you'll have to show a birth certificate if you want to run for president.
You know, there's a theory that says of a good government that legislation is supposed to solve a problem. I'm a little stumped here at what the problem is. I didn't realize that there were this legion of people running who were not citizens of the United States running for president. Unless you believe that there was this massive conspiracy in Hawaii some 40 years ago that involved the newspaper, nurses, doctors, and all the other people that said, yes, President Obama was born in our hospital in Hawaii. It was a state, you know, of the United States, and that he is a citizen of the United States. So, but I guess there's still some doubters in the Arizona Republican Party, and they felt that it was necessary that all those presidential candidates prove they're really a citizen.
You know, Bill, Tuesday I spoke to the Republican Club down in Green Valley in Sahuarita, and I told them, you know, I don't tip my hand too often, but I said, look, there are two things you're not going to see in our newspaper. One is cage fighting, because I don't care. It is not a sport. It is not a sport. It's just brutality. The other is anything on the birther movement regarding the president. We have done that. We're done with it. We're moving on. It's a waste of time.
You know, even Bill O'Reilly, you know, the scion of the conservative talk shows, has came out this week and said, get over it. Stop talking about this. It makes us look like nuts. He is a citizen of the United States. Cut it out. But that message didn't get through last night, apparently.
And by a split decision this week, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals concluded there is sufficient evidence to believe provisions of SB 1070 are an unconstitutional infringement on the exclusive power of the federal government to regulate immigration.
Right. So Susan Bolton is the federal judge who's hearing the SB 1070 lawsuit. And what she ruled last year was that, based on her examination of the record, that there is a reasonable belief that the plaintiffs would prevail, and therefore she enjoined the state from enforcing the law. She filed an injunction. So what this appeal was whether she was the injunction that she imposed was proper, and the appellate court said yes. There's been no ruling yet on the true merits of the law and whether it is or is not constitutional. That case is still proceeding before Bolton. And, you know, they even haven't even begun, even set a trial date for that yet. So, I mean, that's probably not going to be resolved until the end of this year. And then it would go to the federal appellate court. Now, whether they would try to appeal this procedural ruling to the Supreme Court, I mean, they can try. It'd be a waste of money. I don't think that the Supreme Court would weigh in on this. I think they would rather weigh in on the actual ruling on the merits of the case.
Are your readers following the immigration story very carefully, Dan Scheer, in Green Valley?
They are, but again, I think they're more interested in what's happening directly on the border as far as the fence goes, and there's been a lot more news about that lately. But yeah, they're definitely following this, but we've had a lot of other things taking our attention lately.
And one of those things is is it FICO?
Correct.
FICO. Very large pecan orchard operation.
Right. They own thousands of acres of pecan trees down in Green Valley and Sahuarita. And today they are expected to submit a specific plan to the town. And this is going to change the entire look of that area. What it amounts to is the development or the transition from agricultural to a master planned community over the next 40 or 50 years. This involves 7,000 acres. Most of that is in Sahuarita. The other part is in the Green Valley area in the county. It involves 12 miles of the Santa Cruz River. It is going to completely change the look. But the good thing that FICO has been doing is that they've included the community in this conversation from the beginning. There have been a half a dozen public meetings. People are weighing in on what they want to see, what they don't want to see. And the Walden family has six decades of history down there, and they don't want to just sell it off and see it cemented over. So it's a very slow process. Again, it's going to be played out over several decades, but today is really the official launch of this.
This is really huge, isn't it, for your community?
It is big. You know, Rancho Sahuarita came in there and really changed the whole look of Sahuarita, and they are largely responsible for Sahuarita being the second fastest growing community in the state. But this is going to just take it to that next level. But again, it's a slow process. It's a deliberate process. The Waldens really want to take care of the area as they prepare to exit. And it's not going to be a fast exit, and people need to remember that.
Will water be an issue, Dan Scheer?
Well, agricultural operations take up far more water than residential, so it's certainly something people are looking at, but I don't think that that's going to be a front-burner issue.
Okay, I won't ask Mark Evans to comment on that because Mark doesn't really follow Green Valley,
I don't know if you've got a comment.
Do you like
pecans?
Is
what I read in the Green Valley News and Sun. So. I agree with everything Dan just said.
Do you like pecans? FICO is an acronym for, put you on the
Farmers,
spot here.
Farmers Investment Company.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's talk about an issue that Mark Evans does know something about, and perhaps we won't ask Dan to weigh in on this because it's about Rio Nuevo and the FBI getting involved here. Why in the world is the FBI now involved?
Well, we wish we knew. The FBI doesn't like to say why they would get involved. Presumably, there has to have been some sort of credible information presented by the Attorney General's office, which has requested the FBI's assistance on this, that showed some sort of federal nexus to a violation of federal law. If there was misuse of the funds, misappropriation of the funds, if they didn't follow state procurement laws and so forth, those are all state issues, and that would require the Attorney General. And the FBI's got its hands full with Phoenix and the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, with the Fiesta Bowl gate.
Right. And so, you know, I don't think that they're just, we got some agents sitting around here. We'll lend you a hand. There has to be something that Attorney General Tom Horn presented to the FBI that got them to come in. Now, there's a couple of different areas. One is there is a federal public corruption law. So if a government official is suspected of misusing public funds to their own personal benefit, that's a violation of federal law, and therefore you could get a federal investigation. The other issue, potentially, the TIF funds does not have any kind of federal backing. However, they did go to the bond market, which is federally regulated, to borrow about $85 million several years ago. If there's some sort of allegation that the city, and I don't know whether there is or not, this is all speculation on my part, whether they, you know, they misrepresented the information to the lenders in the bond market, maybe that is true. What we do know is that all of the Rio Nuevo financial records were kept in a locker over at the TCC, and that has been swept clean.
Yeah.
Every record that the Rio Nuevo has is now in the hands of the federal government and the state attorney general. So what effect that's going to have on Rio Nuevo to continue to operate when they don't have any records to draw on is also a question. But it does make this quite, Rio Nuevo was already interesting all in and of itself. This makes it even more interesting. I'll be fascinated to find out what the reason was for this.
Now we're going to switch to Rosemont. There were a couple of stories this week in the local papers, Dan Scheer, about the U.S. Forest Service. You and I conducted a interview with Gail Hartman last week. And we also had Kathy Arnold from Rosemont. By the way, we're going to re-air that interview on Tuesday here on the Buckmaster Show at 9 o'clock. So, Dan Scheer, where are we with Rosemont? Do we now have a timetable from the U.S. Forest Service concerning the environmental impact statement?
Well, on Wednesday, we thought we did because the Forest Service sent out a press release, and they said in August, the draft environmental impact statement would be released. There'd be a period of public comment. We'd get a final decision in January. And if everything went Rosemont's way, they would be drilling a year from this month. Then on Thursday, we got another press release from the Forest Service that said, oops, forget all that. We're going to send out something else. Now, not that anybody has really relied on these timelines anyway, because they've been pushed back four or five times now, but it would be nice to get a sense of what's going on behind closed doors right now, and right now we just don't know.
And the Rosemont models, we talked a little bit about the models during our interview with Gail and Kathy. You had, is it four models in your offices?
Correct.
In the Green Valley News?
Correct. Two of them are from the county and two of them are from Rosemont, and we have had them in our office all week, and we have had, I'm going to guess, about 300 people through, and it's been a very interesting week of the Green Valley News, because we're watching these people, we're going in and listening to them, and I'll tell you this, Rosemont is not popular in Green Valley and Saurita, but a lot more people have come through who I feel have not made a decision yet. Not that this is going up to a public vote, but a lot more people are had real intelligent questions, and both sides have had representatives there, lots of literature, lots of good conversation. It's gotten testy a couple of times, which is not always a bad thing, but I'll tell you this, this is exactly what a newspaper should be doing, throwing open the doors, helping the community set the agenda and drive the conversation, and this should be a place where there's an exchange of ideas, and we've seen that. It's been really phenomenal.
Who won the battle of the models? I know the county spent a little money on theirs. They wanted to get a little nice.
You know, Rosemont built theirs a couple of years ago before they knew they'd be in basically a science fair. But they do lose. I will say that the county models, which you all paid for, are really, really nice.
You know, I think I need to go into a new business, and that is some model making, because apparently it's quite lucrative. Anyway, the county's model, I think, is good. Maybe it's a lot of money, but when you look at it, you know, you can look at a map and it's flat, it's two-dimensional, there's some colors there, and you don't really get the kind of the scale of the operation or the lack of scale of the operation, because they are trying to be, Rosemont is trying to be quite focused on where they're digging this mine. But when you look at it now, you can see this is, okay, this is pretty much what it's going to look like. And so in that case, I think it probably was, a good expenditure of public funds.
Have you gone down representing TucsonCitizen.com to take the tour, Mark Evans, of the Rosemont Mine proposal area?
No, I haven't. But when we were the Citizen newspaper, we had several reporters that went down there and took the trip and came back and with lots of photos and reported the way it looked. I'm just surprised at how long this takes
really?
In the United States. I mean, we're into our fourth year now.
Right.
We've been debating whether or not to have this mine. And we're still, based on that timeline, I was stunned at how long they were planning on taking, continuing to take to make a decision on this thing.
Right. And Bill, you mentioned the tour, and I've been on it twice, actually, and I would really encourage anybody to go on to Rosemont.
What's it encompass, the tour?
Well, they put you in a van, and they drive you out, and they say you are now standing in what will be exactly the middle of the pit. And then they'll show you what can be seen, that you can see the road, and I think they say a 4 to 6 mile stretch, you'd be able to actually see it. They'll tell you about the revegetation efforts and the reclamation efforts and how far up the ridge it'll go. And the thing that's really notable is, one, there's a lot of wildlife back there. And two, there's also been a lot of mining back there, and people don't realize that there have been several mining efforts back there already, but none that has left a mile-wide hole. So it's I don't care what side you're on, it's going to benefit you to get out there and take a look at it.
Total time for the tour is?
I think we did it in under 2 hours. They start with a little presentation at first, and then they drive on out.
Okay. I will not ask Dan Scheer a question about the Fox Theater unless he's come up here to Tucson to enjoy it, but I will ask Mark Evans. Fox, the financial situation still looks very precarious.
Yeah, the Fox was, I think, in terms of preservation of history and conservation, a great thing, because these old theaters were dying, and it is a valuable part of our history and heritage to have preserved. However, they had to borrow quite a bit of money to make it happen, and that loan is killing them. There are lots of events that still go on at the Fox. I think part of the problem is that it is so nice, they're kind of limited in what they can do. Across the street at the Rialto, which is also a historic theater, they have lots of concerts and so forth, and it can get kind of messy in there. I've been there a couple of times and rather stunned at the amount of spilled beer. You can't get that at the Fox. So I don't know whether they can host the venues at the Fox that can bring in the amount of money necessary to help them pay their bills. I'm not really sure how they're going to resolve this issue, but it would be really sorry to see the whole thing go under, because it is quite a nice venue.
I think today's the day the University of Arizona is announcing their plans for downtown Tucson and student housing. That's huge from the people I've been talking to about downtown.
That and the streetcar, the game changer for downtown. Mm-hmm. You get all those students living downtown who can then they'll be going to the restaurants down there, they'll be living down there, they'll be shopping down there, and then they're able to take the streetcar into the University of Arizona with and get back and forth. That is what will finally be revitalized downtown. And all that money they spend, the taxes, goes into the TIF. It goes into Rio Nuevo, and it helps Rio Nuevo then have some more money to finish the projects that are unfinished.
And Bill, I think we've seen downtown Phoenix revitalized by Arizona State University's presence down there. The nursing college.
When you were working at the Arizona Republic up in the valley, you saw.
Well, I saw the beginnings of it, and now as I go up, I can see what a presence it has. And at first, people thought, "Man, do you want to put students in this type of environment?" It really didn't look real good. It has been completely transformed and dominated by Arizona State University. It is a huge success. And it really has changed the area for the positive, for the better.
Yeah, I agree. I grew up in Phoenix in the 70s and 80s. Downtown Phoenix was not a very nice place to go. And now it is the center of all activity within Phoenix, that and in Scottsdale. Downtown Phoenix is great. Now, the ballparks had something to do with that as well. It draws a lot of people downtown, and that was part of the revitalization of downtown Phoenix. But the Cronkite School and the nursing school and some of those other projects have just brought thousands of people living downtown, and it's completely transformed it, and that can happen to Tucson. And, you know, so all those unfinished products, projects everybody complains about with Rio Nuevo, the museums and the Mercado and all that, those will get done then once we have those students living downtown along with the streetcar.
But you have to throw in light rail also, because it's been open for a couple of years downtown Phoenix. That's helped a lot too.
Okay, Dan Scheer from Green Valley and Mark Evans, TucsonCitizen.com. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of 5 major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Cañada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson community. Our thrift shop donations and sales provide more than half of needed funding, which goes to programs like Operation School Bell. Since its inception, Operation School Bell has provided clothing and school supplies for more than 38,000 children. But we need your help. Donate an item or a financial gift. Shop our thrift store or volunteer. For more information on how you can make a difference, visit AssistanceLeagueTucson.org.
It is time for the Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. Each Friday morning, we bring in Matt Russell, Tucson publicist, and host of the weekly radio show On the Menu Live, airing Thursday afternoons at 5 here on KJLL The Jolt. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I couldn't be any better. I mean, Bill, you have dialed up the perfect weather for this weekend. I mean, there's so much going on. And I want to get my weekend started right now. Get through my day as quickly as I can so I can call it official.
All right. Maybe you'll knock it off, in fact, a little early today at that publicist office you have there.
I'm going to tell all my clients that Bill Buckmaster told me I could do that.
What's going on with the Spring Club crawling around?
Crawling around. Some people say quite literally at this event, but on Saturday night, really, it's Tucson's largest music festival all throughout downtown and across 4th Avenue is what they call the Spring Club Crawl. There's going to be more than 80 bands and live acts performing on 29 stages all across the downtown area. They're going to have music for every walk or crawl of life, from rock to bluegrass, hip-hop, norteño, acoustic, even lounge music. Organizers, Bill, expect there to be 15,000 people to be crawling around downtown on Saturday night and across 4th Avenue. And as always, right to my heart, great food and great drink opportunities as well for the club crawl.
And of course, we have Earth Day coming up, big festival and parade. I think Earth Day is next Friday, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Tucson really does it well, and they're actually going to be having the 17th annual Earth Day festival and parade on Saturday from 9 to 2 at Reed Park. And of course, this is a great display of environmentally themed exhibits and activities for the whole family, some great music, in fact, dancing opportunities, and of course, there has to be a food angle, and they serve up some great food down there at the Earth Day Festival on Saturday.
And, you know, speaking of food, one of our fine sponsors here, Vero Amore, was singled out, Matt, by the Los Angeles Times this week, one of five restaurants, kind of up-and-coming restaurants to keep an eye on. And that was a really nice plug for Vero Amore and well-deserved.
I'd say so. I mean, especially given the robust culinary atmosphere we have here in Southern Arizona, for the LA Times writer to choose only five restaurants across the area that are making people smile and doing interesting things. My hat's off to the folks over at Vero Amore, because what they do is absolutely for real. I love it.
They really do, and I have to say that we had a meal there. Ann and I had a lovely meal, a garlic chicken pasta that was just unbelievable. I think I could have spent the whole night just seated at the table eating that. My mouth is watering for it right now, in fact. Anyway, the event it's called, and the event is what?
Yeah, absolutely. On Sunday from 6 to 9, they actually call it The Event. What better name for a wonderful event to raise some money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Tucson? It's going to be up in the courtyards of La Encantada on Skyline and Campbell. And it's a wonderful world-class food and wine extravaganza. 50 local restaurants are going to be there providing samples of their menu items. Some great, unique wine tastings. You're going to be able to taste some wines that you can't really find anywhere else, and some great live entertainment. You know, the organizers of this event said, we want to create a world-class event. What do we call it? Let's call it The Event. Oh. I couldn't imagine a better name. You can go on to www.theeventtucson.com. To get all the information on this event. Tickets are going very, very quickly, and it's this Sunday, so your listeners don't want to miss it.
Thank you very much, Matt Russell. Your walking tour part two on the menu live Thursday at 5. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks so much, Bill. Have a great weekend.
Have a good one. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers Regern Associates Certified Public Accountants. 2919 East Broadway, The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, producer Rosemary Brandt, marketing director Deborah Howard, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a good one.
Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Local talk at its best.
Up next, you won't believe what's going to happen.
This is Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.